The midterm election results, that's our topic right now for this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is a returning guest. His name is Adam Brandon, and he's the president of FreedomWorks, freedomworks.org. Adam, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks very much for having me.
All right, kind of a mixed results as far as the midterm elections. What is your take?
Well, things have kind of settled down a little bit, and I have to start off by saying, like, look, I lost a couple good friends in this. Not that they've completely gone away, but I've lost them from congressional life, and that is Congressman Dave Bratt and then also Congressman Rod Blum. So I personally have some friends that I won't be seeing very much of anymore. But overall, you then take another look at both the Senate results, Florida governor, these races, Ohio governor, you start talking about 2020, and that makes me feel a little bit better about the outcome. The Democrat majority in the House is not a wide margin that you can't go and get back in a couple years. And the reason I mention Ohio and Florida is we're starting to get into a redistricting era where the Florida's probably going to add, what, 3, maybe even 4 congressional seats. So it's important that you hold those state houses, and we did.
All right. What are the thoughts in terms of economics? For example, there are definitely some out-of-the-closet socialists that ran on a socialistic type platform. I can't help but think of Ocasio-Cortez from the Bronx. What are your thoughts on that socialism in the election?
Well, the first thing I'll say is I look at the first era episode of socialism we're going to be facing now is Obamacare collapses, and it's going to collapse into one of two things, either a free market health care system or it's going to collapse into socialized single payer health care. And right now in this election cycle, Democrats have no problem coming out and saying we're for single payer, period. And Republicans failed to articulate what a free market vision for healthcare looks like. Yeah. And that's something that Republicans are going to have to quickly retool on is what the missed opportunity with repeal of Obamacare, what it should have looked like, what it means. Republicans lose on things like pre-existing conditions when most Republicans weren't going to touch pre-existing conditions. But they need to come up with, when it comes to pushing back on single-payer health care, a vision of health care. Now, when it comes to the economy, again, I sometimes roll my eyes when I see what some of the quote-unquote socialists are talking about when it comes to the economy. But I have to be careful, because what is insane of what they're saying today in 5 or 10 years could be Democratic Party orthodoxy. So in the next few years, it's very important for us to get out there and explain to the American people, suburban voters. One of the big stories of this election will be young voters and, of course, suburban women. It's always the year of the woman in the election cycles. What we stand for and what our values are. And if we do, I think we can be looking at a good 2020, but we better retool and learn our lessons quick.
Yeah, I think it'd be good if you took a moment, since healthcare was listed by many voters as the number one issue. Could you explain the difference between single payer versus a more free market approach to healthcare?
In general, when I studied economics, the reason that a free market is good is it is the best way to spread out scarce resources. And the market is the most efficient resource allocator that humans have at our disposal. And the problem then, when you go the other way, you go to single payer, the questions then, there's this basic idea that everyone should have equal access to healthcare. Well, what does healthcare mean? Does that mean that, when you go show up and your leg is broken, you should get treated? Or does it mean you're getting the most cutting-edge cancer treatments that may or may not work? Well, under socialized medicine, there's only so much money that we'll be able to have. So the ability to make decisions on healthcare are going to be driven by bureaucrats, and they're going to be driven by once you hit age 60, you're off all lists for all transplants and other healthcare services. So it just gets very dangerous. The market, what I would like to see is a robust market where people have an interest in their healthcare, and I'm not defending the healthcare companies right now, but I would like to see a system that goes the other way, which strengthens that relationship between the person and their doctor in making their decisions and costs are very clear. And so that when you go to make it a procedure, cost is, hey, if I do this, the chances are it's going to work and it costs this much money. And if I try and do this, it's going to cost a lot of money and the results aren't good. Basic market rationales will do a lot to get our cost of healthcare down.
Okay, but even the phrase single payer, I think a lot of people don't realize what that actually means. Can you spell that out?
What that means is we would need something like a national sales tax of approximately maybe 20-25%, something you see in places like Europe. So every day cost of living would go up 20-25% plus an increase in income taxes. Because the single payer is the government, so it's not that your healthcare becomes free; you're paying for it elsewhere. And one thing I've always pointed out is that the middle class in America actually has a very light touch tax compared to if you go to other countries in Europe and Japan, where the middle class pays a significant amount of tax. So, single payer means that we're all paying. The joke always is wait until you see the bill for free healthcare.
Yeah, there was a line like the same idea. If you think healthcare is expensive now, just wait till it's free. But it's scary though, because Medicare for all. I mean, people are out there touting this on the campaign trail, and some of those people have won.
Well, like I look at people like my parents that depend on Medicare, and they're approaching 80 years old. And they vote, and when you're saying Medicare for all, all of a sudden you're going to have all Americans competing for those scarce resources that our elderly Americans are depending on right now. That's not real smart. And what you want to do is you want to rationalize the healthcare system. I always explain the difference between Obamacare and what the Republicans should have been articulating. Obamacare was forcing a lot of people into an already broken and overloaded system. Just because you have access, if the system's broken, the system's broken. What I'd like to be doing is focusing on reducing costs and increasing access that way so more people can afford health care. And again, this is going to be one of those issues starting right now. The Democratic presidential campaigns, I think they're going to be tripping over themselves for their socialized medical programs.
Okay, you mentioned Congressman Bratt. Since you mentioned mm-hmm. him by name, here was a guy that beat Congressman Cantor about 4 years ago in a very surprising upset. And Mr. Bratt was, as I understand it, was a professor of economics and definitely stood for free market approach to things. Why did he lose?
The first reason that Dave Bratt won is that, and this is going to be an ongoing story, redistricting. Virginia adjusted their districts, and he went from a solidly Republican district to a kind of a toss-up district.
Oh.
And he lost mainly because he was just our polling showed him just up a couple points heading into the final stretch. And he just got bludgeoned to death with money. And the other side, the Democrats, not only did they spend more, but this is kind of one of my main lessons, my main takeaways from this election. Democrats invest in grassroots. Democrats invest in voter turnout. Democrats invest in not in television, per se. I mean, yes, they've spent plenty on TV, but first and foremost, they will invest in their ground game. So one of my main takeaways from this election is Republicans have to stop investing too much in television and invest more in their long-term ground game to identify and turn out their voters. Look, early voting was up 100% across the country. That means that the Democrats were better able to identify their block of support and make sure they get to the polls. Republicans will need to do the same.
Huh. Okay. As far as the House now going to the Democrats, what does this mean in terms of the attempts to try and impeach the president? Or there's even been talk about trying to impeach Kavanaugh. What are your thoughts there?
And it's not going to stop there. It's going to go through every single cabinet official. They're going to analyze every photo that anyone ever took to see who's in the background. And this is the Democrats, to analyze every single thing that someone has said on Facebook, even if you're standing next to them. And it's going to be a complete investigation tip to toe for all parts of the administration. And this is something I do worry about with the current Trump administration, is this the absolute onslaught of subpoenas. I don't see how they're physically going to be able to keep up with the paper that's going to be coming through. And, oh, yeah, the Mueller investigation is probably going to hit another gear. So it's just going to be Investigation City. I expect that the Democrats, this actually may come to the Republican advantage as they start to overreach. Mm-hmm. I think when Americans turn on the TV and it's Ben Carson's being investigated, Ivanka Trump's being investigated, Kavanaugh's being investigated, it's just going to start turning people off. And I think it's time. I think what Republicans should do is focus on the big issues, like, yes, get your notes straight on what free market healthcare looks like. Talk about this continuing growing economy. Focus on the more deregulation. Focus on getting people in helping to fix some problems, like in education, of helping people get trained for these jobs that are open. We have more jobs open than we have people who can fill them.
Wow.
If Republicans focus on that side of the equation, 2020 could actually end up being a very good year. And I would predict that 2021 will be one of the most important legislative years in American history.
Huh. Interesting. Tax cuts, how did they fare in the elections? It would seem like they lost. I mean, Nancy Pelosi said that Trump's tax cuts a couple years ago were just like crumbs. That's all they were.
Right.
But she's very wealthy. And, you know, yep. I mean, I needed those tax cuts. And, you know, so does the average middle class person.
So, hey, if I'm going on vacation next year, I need the tax that, you know, my refund to come in nicely. The problem with the tax cuts is it kind of got drowned out. This was the most issueless campaign in American history. This really did become a referendum on Trump, and for better or for worse. And then what happened was, I think, as you saw in the Senate races, the senators actually kind of bought in with a lot of what Trump was, and a lot of House races, they actually ran from Trump.
Oh.
And there was a confusing message from a lot of Republican House candidates. And yes, they could point to their success on the tax cut, but that was a while ago. And elections are kind of, what have you done for me lately? You didn't hear Democrats really campaigning that much against the tax cut. What they were campaigning on were on some of these bigger issues like health care, and they caught the Republicans off guard on that one.
Mm. Well, I think your advice that the Republicans need to really start honing in on their message for free market approaches to the health care is very good. Very good. In fact, one thing I will say, I get health insurance through my full-time employer, and one of the benefits that kind of grew on me, and I've just really come to appreciate it, is that a little bit of money goes out each pay cut from my, you know, or each paycheck from my salary, and it goes to this savings account, this health savings mm-hmm. account. And, oh, I love having that. I wish I had, you know, a card like that for, you know, this is for my car repairs, you know, and it's been
right.
saved, you know,
right.
and this is for the house repairs, you know, that kind of thing. It's great. I wish that was, you know, widespread. I wish everybody in the country had one of those.
And it's a rational thing to do. And when you put rationality into the marketplace, costs go down and people are empowered with the decisions that they make. And right now we're going the other way.
Yeah.
And if you look at the way the health insurance works right now, you have third parties paying for things. And so you don't really, you know, you're not really paying as much of attention. And I think we're going to be looking at a technological revolution with our phones, and where you're going to wake up in the morning and your phone's going to tell you if you have a cold, or your phone's going to tell you if you need to go visit the doctor. The amount of preventive care that we're going to be able to do is going to save hundreds of billions of dollars off of our health care bills every year. And so I want to make sure that we have innovation driving health care, not bureaucrats.
Yep, excellent. Okay, 20 seconds, last thought on the midterms of 2018.
It's a mixed bag. We've kind of fought to a draw. 2020 is going to be one of those generational-sized elections that's coming up, and it began immediately. And this is a great opportunity for Republicans to remind people what they are and who they are, and show who the Democrats are when it comes to the Democrat socialistic agenda.
Adam Brandon, freedomworks.org. Thanks, Adam. All the best.
Thanks for having me.
All right, bye-bye.